The children delighted in the flames and diversions, but their elders clucked over the bad luck thus signified. The fiery wheel more often reached the bottom without falling, the old woman told the old men, who nodded without contradiction, although memory might run otherwise. Hans parted his lips. Undeseeking your customs was the Kratzer's great work, and I have the sentence in my head that this example might please him. He is dying, and so deserving a comfort. Dietrich fell silent. When a few moments had gone by, he said, You loved your master.
Pwah, wah, how could I not? It is written in the atoms of my flesh. Nevertheless, one more bite of knowing to feed his mind would please him.
He stiffened abruptly into immobility.
Gottfried Lawrence calls. There is trouble.
Gottfried wore a floral crown and had shed his leather hose to leap among the revelers. Few remarked the custom any longer, as he had no shameful organs to display, at least none that women would recognize as such. Somehow, in the whirling, he had swiped Sepp Bauer across the crown with his serrated arm, and the young man now lay prostrate amid the flickering torches. Some in the crowd made ugly growls in their throats. Others gathered by the moment, asking questions.
The monster attacked my son, Volkmar declared.
He swept his arm around his neighbors.
We all saw.
A few nodded and muttered. Others shook their heads. A few cried that it was chance. Ulrika, swollen with child, shrieked to see her husband lying so.
You beast, she cried at Gottfried. You beast!
Dietrich saw anger, confusion, fright, recognized the signs. He noticed from the corner of his eye a handful of other Krenkin gathering in the outer darkness, and one who held the rank of sergeant among them and was known therefore as Hopping Max, had unfastened the flap on the scrip that held his potifer.
Gregor! Dietrich called to the mason. Fetch Max from the castle. Tell him we have a matter for the Hare's justice.
The Markgrafs, you mean?
Volkmar shouted.
Murders for the High Justice.
No, see? Your son breathes. It wants only the scalp sewn back in place and a little rest.
Not by you, Volkmar replied. Your tender-heartedness to these demons is a scandal.
What might have happened, then, remained unknown, for Max arrived with a half-dozen armsmen, and imposed the Hare's peace upon them. And Manfred, when he arrived, much put out at the late hour, ruled the matter accidental and declared that a full trial of the facts would await the annual court at Michaelmas. The crowd sullenly dispersed, some giving Volkmar a slap on the shoulders, others giving him a look of disgust. Gregor said to Dietrich,
Volkmar's not a bad man, but his tongue can slither out of his food hole before he knows it. And he says things with such certitude that he cannot after deny them without seeming foolish.
Gregor, at times I think you are the cleverest man in Oberhochwald. The mason crossed himself.
God forbid, that is no great feat.
When the revelers had dispersed and Dietrich was alone with Hans and Gottfried, Hans said, The Hare is a clever man. In 3 months sits the court, and long before, all questions are moot. Gottfried touched Dietrich on the shoulder, startling him. Father, I have sinned, the crinkle said. It was no accident. Sepp taunted me, and I struck without thinking. Dietrich regarded his convert. Guilt may be altered by circumstances, he allowed. If your instinctus overcame you, striking him was not my sin. What then?
Afterward. I was happy.
Ah, that is serious. How did he provoke you?
He called himself happy that we would soon be gone.
Dietrich cocked his head. Because you starve, he hoped for your death?
No, he meant our ship. I did not think. He might have meant a farewell. He could not have known of our failure.
Dietrich stopped and grabbed Gottfried by the arm, which caused the crank to freeze and check an instinctive blow. Failure? Dietrich demanded. What means this?
The wire will not serve, he said. There is a measure. You know how a rope will snap if too much weight pulls on it. Our electronic mill snaps also, though in a different way. With each proofing it grows less strong. We cast the sums and...
Gottfried fell silent, and Hans touched him several times about the torso.
But the doctrine of chances, brother, he told Gottfried, gives no certainty. There gives yet a chance of success. There gives yet a chance that Volkmar Bauer will caress me, Gottfried answered. He faced Dietrich directly after the human fashion. The weakening is such that our ship can drop into the abyss between the worlds, but will likely lack the power to climb back out on the farther shore. A hard fate. Or an easy one, brother, said Hans. Who has ever come back to tell us which?
Gottfried batted Hans's arm away and sprang down the hill. Dietrich watched him go, then he turned on Hans. You always knew you would fail.
Hans's eyes were unreadable. A slumping device like that, wire drawn with pliers by a boy on a swing, no clothing for the wire to contain its fluids. We made the work as sound as we could, but it is more rags and patches than that coat of Manfred's jester. I thought failure likely from the start.
Then why the pretense?
Because you were right. When the alchemist failed, my folk might have seen nothing before them but lingering death. We gave them something else these past 5 moons. Hope may be a greater treasure than truth.
Returning to the parsonage, Dietrich found the Kratzer lying upon his pallet, his soft lips opening and closing, though too slowly to signify laughter. He recalled that Hans had made once the same sign beneath an anonymous sky.
He's weeping, Dietrich thought,
and found it oddly affecting that for Krenk, as for man, the outward appearance of tears was so like that of laughter. The Kratzer was a materialist. Was that why he wept? All men naturally feared death, yet a materialist holding naught beyond the threshold might dread the passage more. He leaned over the Krenkel's pallet, but saw only his own myriad reflections in those strange golden eyes. There were no tears. Could be no tears. And lacking them, how could the melancholic humor be bled? The Krenken were impaired in all expressions, their humors heightened by containment, like the black powder in one of Bacon's paper tubes. They wept more deeply, angered more brightly, celebrated more wildly, idled more slowly. But they knew no poems and sang no songs. And yet, as a man might be happy who knew of naught else, happy before water wheels and eyeglasses and mechanical clocks, when life was harder than in these more modern times, so too could the Krenken live content until finding themselves in the Hochwald. Dietrich crossed to the outbuilding to obtain some grain with which to make a porridge. Upon the windowsill, above the grain sack, sat the Kratzer's flask. It was fashioned of a white semi-opaque material that the Kratzer had named rock oil, and the sun, passing through the clarified oilskin that served as a light in that window, cast the contents in shadow. Dietrich took the flask in hand. He was not mistaken. The level had diminished. Returning to the parsonage, Dietrich gazed down at the philosopher. I know now why you weep, my friend. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. And the Kratzer's dread had pulled the stopper that his revulsion had meant to keep sealed. Do you know what he drank? Dietrich asked the monk, who knelt in prayer. Joachim's murmurs stopped, and he nodded once.
With this very spoon I fed him.
I poured into him his friends and companions. God moves mysteriously. Then he sat back on his heels. The body is but a husk, only the spirit is real. We respect our body as the image of God, but their bodies are not God's image, and so might be used in ways not permitted to us.
Dietrich did not contest the casuistry.
He watched the Minorite scoop up the fine dark green granules that the Kratzer's body expelled and pour them into a waste bucket. But if the body is consumed, he asked, what remains for the resurrection of the dead? Joachim wiped the creature clean. What remains when the worms consume it? Do not limit God. With him are all things possible. Shortly after the nativity of John, a peddler arrived from the direction of Bear Valley, leading a pack mule full of goods. He prayed the hare's leave to set up a stall on the village green for a few days. A swarthy man with wide, thick moustaches, and with bangles on his wrists and two hoops of gold in his ears, he fired his tin pot up and promised miracles of repair. He displayed also ornaments he had procured in the East. He gave the name of Imre and claimed Hungarian blood. He did a brisk business on sundry trifles and mending pots and pans.